This is Morning Edition on VPR. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Today we continue Downstream, our series on the current and future health of Vermont's waterways. And today we're visiting a place far from Montpelier, where Act 64, or Vermont's Clean Water Act to improve the quality of the state's waters, is being written. We're in the town of Cambridge to see the dairy farm owned by Frank Hutchins.
I was born here. Be the fourth generation lives in the farmhouse, but maybe the last generation running it too, you know.
Part of the reason Frank is so concerned is that small farmers like him are facing big changes, because small farms for the first time will have to certify with the state and will be routinely inspected to make sure they're doing everything they can to keep pollutants out of the water. Frank Hutchins has about 70 milker cows and grows crops to feed them on a couple of hundred hilly acres on his farm in Cambridge. And like a lot of farmers in Vermont, he's trying to get out in front of new rules and regulations on dealing with things like runoff from manure and cattle feed, and even some problems he fixed in the past.
I had animals outdoors in the winter, and they were in a stream that has since been fenced out. They've got 7 acres that I guess it's 7 acres, isn't it, Ben, that I no longer can use. They've paid me a rent not to use it. And you can see it's growing back up. We'll walk by some of it anyways.
The Ben he's talking about is Ben Gabos. He's with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and he's helping advise Frank on the changes he'll need to make and how the state can help fund some of the projects to bring him into compliance with the new law. On the hot summer's day we visit, there's a lot of construction work taking place to deal with nutrient runoff. That's because heavy rains this spring and summer flowed through the barnyard, washing manure downhill. And well before we saw a concrete bunker full of cattle feed, we could smell what was coming from it, the result of rain overwhelming the bunker full of cattle feed, washing some nutrients from the grain.
In the past, that has gone down and eventually made its way to surface waters, but we're in the middle of a project to divert that to a manure pit and also a treatment area. Depending on if we get a big storm, we're going to send most of the water to a treatment area. So, and then what we're also doing is to keep all the roof water, which is clean water, clean, is divert that. There'll be a trench drain all along that barn, and that'll divert all that clean water off to the brook. And then this roof water here off this, we'll have a gutter on that and we'll divert that. So, you know, we keep clean water clean. It makes sense. So that's a lot of work to do that, though.
It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of expense, I imagine, too. So is Frank going to get some help in the cost of that?
Yeah, he's working with both the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service, or NRCS, and the State Agency of Ag, that he's getting cost share to help with these fixes. But there is, you know, there are out-of-pocket cost for him, and you know, it's cost share, it's not 100%, so he's got investment in this as well.
There's someone else with us at the farm today, and if you're a farmer like Frank, it's fair to say he's probably the nicest guy you'll never want to meet.
When I drive in the yard and I've introduced myself to the farmer, probably the first thing is just a visual, and the thing I'm looking for is, where does water flow? Where are the obvious places water flows? Because it's water that carries the pollution.
That's John Roberts, a small farm water quality specialist with the Vermont Agency of Agriculture. And his job is to inspect large and medium farms across the state. But now he'll also be inspecting small farms, a huge task because when I ask him how many small farms there are in Vermont...
That's interesting. I'm going to say, when my bosses in Montpelier hear this, but I think we're talking 5,000 to 7,000 small farms, you know, in that ballpark. Part of that number is going to be defined as, what is a small farm? I hope we're not going to chase after the person with one chicken who happens to be standing on a rock in the middle of the stream. You know, they've got to have a significant impact. But is that 5 dairy cows, 4 horses, 3 horses?
So there's a lot of uncertainty on what's to come in Vermont's Clean Water Act, which Robert says will probably be better defined in the next 6 months. But one thing he knows now is that the act will make his job a bit easier because it pays for new inspectors to be hired by the state. And they'll be looking for the same thing John Roberts is, dirty water.
The dirty water has to be treated one way or the other, whether it's run into a manure pit or it's run into a filtration system. So, you know, when I meet the farmer. I will ask him things about his farm, how many cows he has, how many acres does he have, how many does he grow corn, you know, that sort of thing. And then so we'll start looking at the obvious areas, open barnyards, where, you know, you have manure, you have feed, you have rainwater. And how does that move after that?
From their respective accents, John Roberts and Frank Hutchins don't sound like they have much in common. John Roberts, as you may have figured by now, made his way to Vermont from England, a trip he made some 40 years ago. But he's been a farmer just like Frank. He owned a 400-acre farm in Glens Falls, New York, and knows exactly how hard it is to make a living farming the land. He also knows the particular challenges farmers like Frank Hutchins are facing, with his land situated on the Seymour River watershed, which flows into the Lamoille River.
Just looking at this farm, you know, this is totally different to the Champlain Valley, which is flat. This is very steep, so water will travel fast and move downhill, you know. And so how do you intercept the clean water? How do you intercept the dirty water? You know, my job as an inspector, it would be to identify those issues and say, you know, this is a problem. This, you know, we've got dirty water flowing into a stream. How do we divert it? How do we stop that?
Frank Hutchins is one of those farmers who knows he has an impact on the lake and wants to do what's right to reduce it. But when I ask about the new rules coming down the pike and how he feels about what that might mean for farmers like him...
Oh, boy. It's a little bit overwhelming, really.
John Roberts says one thing farmers can expect is enforcement of a rule that's already been on the books but has been largely ignored to this point.
A lot of farmers, small farmers, don't realize this. They, under the present rules, the AAPs, they are required to soil test every 5 years. Unfortunately, I think you'd find that very few farmers actually do that because it hasn't been enforced. And now it's going to be required because when they certify that they're obeying the RAPs, the new required ag practices, it will include you have to soil test every field at least every 3 to 5 years.
And if Frank Hutchins could have the ear of legislators in Montpelier crafting the new regulations, his word to them would be...
Use caution before they throw everything on our lap.
Do you think farmers get unfairly pointed to when it comes to pollution problems of the lake?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Why?
I just do. I mean, look at the blacktop, the runoff, the ditches, the roofs. Yeah, I think we certainly get pointed at.
Frank is working on reducing runoff project by project. He walks us along a newly graveled cow lane that was once a muddy path crossing the brook, sending manure runoff downstream. He explains how the gravel helps prevent erosion, and the path is now buffered by vegetation on the downslope side. John Roberts reflects on the efforts Frank and farmers like him have made to be a part of the source solution.
I think that, especially with the passage of Act 64, I'm confident that we can demonstrate that the farmers are doing their part, or will be doing their part. And as I said, the vast majority of farmers are happy to do that, accepting of doing that. But it would be nice if everyone applauded.
The work Frank Hutchins has to do to make his farm compliant could total more than $150,000 when it's all done. Now, much of that will be defrayed with help from state and federal officials. And Frank can also pay much of that down by putting in his own labor to be included in the overall bill. But with milk prices low this year and the particulars of the Clean Water Act still unknown, the changes to come could make the difference between continuing to farm the land and letting it go.
It hasn't been my goal to develop it, but if you don't develop it, you got to do something with it. I mean, somebody's got to keep it going.
On this point, the farmer and the farm inspector heartily agree.
You know, hopefully there is a future. There needs to be a future because, again, you know, the report that the agency put out in January at the farm show shows the importance, certainly the importance of dairy farming to the state of Vermont.
For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertlieb.